This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Do you read with your children? What are your strategies to create a positive relationship between your child and books? There are many ways to go about it, and today we explore some of that variety in local communities and organizations. Joining Cincinnati Edition today, our director of the Reading and Discovery Center at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, Dr. John Hutton. Welcome, John.
Thank you.
Associate Professor of Communication Design at the University of Cincinnati College of Design, Architecture, and Planning, or DAP, Renee Seward. Welcome, Renee.
Well, hi. Thanks.
Director of the Early Childhood Literacy Initiative at the City of Covington, Mary Kay Connolly. Welcome, Mary Kay.
Hello.
And Director of the Innovation Lab at Covington-based Children, Inc., Sarah Zawali. Welcome, Sarah.
Hey, thanks for having me.
If you have questions or comments or want to share some of your strategies to keep your children engaged with reading, give us a call, 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at wvxu.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter as well. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and try to get some of those in the show as well. John, I want to start with you because you have a long history in childhood literacy. You lead the Reading and Literacy Discovery Center at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. You're part of Blue Manatee Children's Bookstore. You've published children's books. In these years, what are the most important aspects of childhood literacy that you've learned?
That's a really important question and a tough one. I hope we have about 3 hours to talk about it. So,
we have about 30 seconds 30 for this seconds particular question.
No, it's one of the things we really learned is at Cincinnati Children's at the Reading and Literacy Discovery Center, the main area that I focus on is the first 5 years, you know, the importance of creating an early foundation for parents and children reading together. And then the sort of the secret sauce of that is any opportunity for parents and children to interact in a positive sort of back and forth way. Around books, and that tends to develop interest in reading as well as the skills that go with it.
Well, tell us what the Reading and Literacy Discovery Center is.
So we're a research-based center at Cincinnati Children's. We're about 10 years old. We started with the idea that we wanted to really explore how reading develops in the brain beginning in infancy, and then what can go wrong, and then identify the different subtypes of reading difficulties. You know, some of them are environmentally based and some are more organically based in the brain. And then also try to figure out what kinds of interventions are most effective at what ages.
And Mary Kay, you've got this unique role in that you are contracted by a municipal government rather than a board of education to lead this literacy initiative. It's called Read Ready, and it was launched by the City of Covington. Tell us about what that is.
Okay. It is a community-wide early literacy initiative. And you think about it in this way. When a major league baseball team brings their farm team up, they want them to have skills, and they have to have their talents developed. Well, think about schools then. Children need to come into the schools with the skills and knowledge and experiences that help them to be ready to learn. Read Ready Covington seeks to do that, to provide resources, information, and share that information citywide.
So the program launched last fall, and
yes.
What has the response in the city been?
Response has been fabulous. Because it's a collaborative effort, it isn't the city doing this. It's the city convening all of the partners, the school systems, both public and private, the child care centers, the health department, library, et cetera, partners that all have the same goal, and we all want to integrate what we're doing so that we can serve families better.
So Covington Independent Public Schools, which is part of this as well, they've struggled in recent years. They consistently rank among the lowest in achievement across the entire state of Kentucky. What kind of impact do you hope this program will have on those achievement results within the school district?
Well, initially, we want them to be kindergarten ready. So we want them to score proficient on the Brigance. We want them to have the social and emotional development or skills that they need to be successful in school, to be able to relate to other children and their teachers, to follow directions, all of those simple relational elements that are key to our development. We want them to be reading on grade level by the end of third grade because we know statistically that they're going to do better if they're proficient by that age. And we want it to be a community value. So this helps the school in that if we start at birth and in those first 5 years, we make a difference there, we will see an obvious difference in the schools.
So how will your results be measured so that the public knows that this was a worthwhile investment?
Excellent question. Well, we collect data along the way, the number of people that are using the resources we have available, those who are participating in events and activities. And then ultimately, our goal will be, how are they scoring once they arrive at kindergarten, and how are they scoring yearly on their tests?
Sarah, Children Inc. has many unique programs to boost literacy. I know we've spoken before, and there's some work that you've done with music and that sort of thing to incorporate reading into some programs. Tell us about the organization's Innovation Lab, though.
Sure. You know, as John and Mary Kay had said, we know really how important it is for parents and early child caregivers and educators to really promote language development in the first few years of life. We know that the quality of interactions that parents have with their child really promote literacy skills. And through the Innovation Lab, we get to look at the work that John Hutton's doing and many other researchers across the country and really ensure that we can take that work and the research and implement that through best practices and make sure that what few researchers know, that parents and educators have that information so that they can implement strategies at home and in school.
Well, tell us about some of those strategies and techniques that Children Inc. Deploys for assistance in helping children learn to read.
Sure. I mean, I think first and foremost, it's really what we all know. We know that when parents talk to their children and, you know, use words are like vitamins to a child's brain. Words matter. We have to talk to our children from the very beginning of their life. And so one way that we've implemented some strategies is, yes, that interaction's important, but then how can we reinforce that? So we've also created an app called RX for Success that helps promote really that reinforces activities and different things that you can do throughout the day to promote language and literacy.
And Renee, your last name is pronounced C-word, and you created an app called C-word Reading.
Yes.
So tell us about the creation of this app.
Well, the inspiration for the app was one of my friends had a son who was dyslexic, and he came home and he kept saying the reason why he's failing the test is because the way they laid out the page. And me being a graphic designer, I'm like, if I can make a template that will help, I'll surely do it. And so I started looking into the issue, and while it wasn't the page layout, I did realize that there are strategies that we use in building brands to help people remember the qualities of a brand that could possibly be used to help someone remember like what sound belongs to what letter form. So it's about embedding images and pairing images with letter forms in memorable ways that helps cue a reader to figuring out what sound the letter makes. And so it's inspired by him.
Okay. And so you took this thing to Mount Washington School.
Mm-hmm.
And what were the results there?
So Mount Washington was the original school, so we started with usability testing, and we did several rounds of just trying to figure out how do we develop a tool that fits like a glove for the student as well as the teacher, because it's a supplemental tool that they can use in relationship to their core curriculum. The results were amazing. There was results in terms of spelling, where we had the high kids and the low kids in the kindergarten and first grade, and we tested them pre and post, and the gap that was seen at pre had all but closed at the end of post. There was outcomes in decoding and phonemic awareness that came about.
Okay, so you teach visual communication, which I guess is another way to say graphic design in some respect. So what role have you found then that this plays in children's development in terms of learning to read?
Well, what I noticed is that I went and spent a lot of time in private schools that teach in small settings, multi-sensory learning. And I wanted to figure out how can we leverage those things inside a device that might be able to be used in a larger setting to help kids, to give more access to kids that will not have the opportunity to be in the small settings with the sand and all of that. So I wanted to think about user experiences and visual communication and how do I bring all of those together with research inside of education that might help someone. So definitely partnering with educational psychologists and reading specialists along the way to verify what I was doing.
Okay, so now you've got the app, the C Word app. You've taken it to the UC Office of Innovation's Pre-Accelerator Program. What is that? What's going on there with it?
So it's actually called the Venture Lab inside of 1819 Innovation Center at UC. And it allows anyone that has an idea to come and pitch it to a group of what they call entrepreneur in residence. Well, we go through a 7-week training to see if what you have is a good idea. And then you can get an entrepreneur in residence that kind of helps work with you to figuring out the marketing strategy and getting it developed and validated so that it could be a tool out in market. But I'm very helpful or thankful in how much they've supported the research aspect of it towards getting it to become a product.
Awesome. Okay, 513-419-7100 is the number if you'd like to weigh in on how you help your kid learn to read, how you encourage them to read, or if you've got some questions or need some advice from our experts here on this panel on how to encourage reading among the children in your life. That's the number, 513-419-7100. Email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. So I want to open this up for everyone to have a chance to weigh in. Kids love screens. They love their screen time. They're very apt with apps and phones. They can take a device and it seems like they instantly know how to use it. It's a really remarkable thing to watch. But are there concerns about the amount of screen time? Should it be reduced? Is it a technological advancement that we should accept as normal? John, you studied this. You found that, I'm not even sure I know what this means, but you found that brain connectivity in children is increased by the time they spend reading books and decreased by the length of exposure to screen-based media. So why don't you tell us what that means?
That was a study that we published last year. We were actually looking at 8 to 12-year-olds, and it was a fairly straightforward and basic study, just looking at the aggregate amount of reading and the aggregate amount of screen time. And it didn't really get us into the what type of screen time, what type of reading. It's really sort of a first look at potential differences in how the different networks in the brain connect in response to those predictors, you know, those types of backgrounds for the kids. We subsequently got a couple of studies in the works that are looking at younger kids and 3 to 5 year olds, where we took a more comprehensive look at screen time, looking at different aspects, you know, how much screen time, what type of content, when it was started, where it's used. And we found other effects on the wiring in the brain, and actually that the level of wiring was decreased in kids with higher scores on this aggregate measure. So there are concerns about, essentially it's a matter of readiness, that probably one size definitely does not fit all in terms of defining screen time as a monolithic thing. It really depends on how it's used, who it's used with, what the age of the child is. And one of my concerns, and I get into this a lot in the reading center, is screen time becomes a replacement for parent-child interaction and teacher-child interaction and other things. And Renee's app is a great example of a mindfully developed app that has some research behind it and educational intent, but there's a lot of other stuff out there that's not necessarily as mindfully developed.
We'll pick up this conversation after a short break. We'll continue our discussion on childhood literacy strategies in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Today we discuss childhood literacy strategies and the variety of ways to create a positive relationship between children and reading. We're joined today by Director of the Reading and Discovery Center at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, Dr. John Hutton. I almost called that the Reading and Discovery Center because that's a Cincinnati problem that you can have if you're in the news business and are forced to learn how to say these weird words sometimes. Associate Professor of Communication Design at the University of Cincinnati College of Design, Art, Architecture, and Planning, or DAP, Renee Seward. And Director of the Early Childhood Literacy Initiative at the City of Covington, Mary Kay Connolly. and director of the Innovation Lab at Covington-based Children, Inc., Sarah Zawali. Join the discussion at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. So just before we went to the break, we were talking about screen time and whether it's too much of a good thing sometimes. And we heard from John, who has done some extensive research on this at the organization at Children's Hospital. I want to give the rest of you a chance to weigh in. We can start with Mary Kay, because I know that the Read Ready program incorporates some of the tools that are already available within your partner organizations, like the Covington School System. I believe they use something called Footsteps to Brilliance, which I think is sort of a, you know, there's books involved. There's also some application technology.
Correct. It's a dual app. It's actually Clever Kids University and Footsteps to Brilliance. They just recently added Clever Kids. But the purpose is Lapware. It's an app, but it's not, it's very intent, it is intentional. It is researched, and the purpose is to make it limited. So 15 minutes a day, but it builds upon the 44 sounds in the English language. It's very phonetically based, vocabulary based. It's expanding, as we said, that word development that we want very much. But Lapware means with the parent. Instead of Crazy Birds or Candy Crush, which we know it's a reality. For a while, they thought, oh, yeah, let's get kids on earlier so they'll be electronically literate. But we know that we want to limit that, and we want to be very intentional.
So why limit it?
Because it's not to replace the parent relationship. It's not to replace the experiences of walking in the neighborhood and pointing out colors and shapes and naming things. It's in addition to.
And Sarah, how does your organization, Children, Inc., approach all this technology? It's there for the taking, but do we take too much sometimes?
Well, I think when it is intentional and it is a tool to reinforce what a literacy-rich environment. So really what we want to do is provide children with this literacy-rich environment so they have books and crayons and tools and reading materials that are available. And then also if there are certain tools that are online or that is screen time, that can be a reinforcement, but not to ever take the place of the interaction between the parent or the caregiver and the child and, you know, the actual physical book. We know that early literacy skills, it's this natural development, and we need them to have the physical book and all of the experiences in order to develop the vocabulary and language needed to be successful in entering kindergarten.
And Renee, when the students at Mount Washington were, I guess they tried this out first, your new app, C-Word Reading, did they respond well to the application and also to the text that it was helping them read?
They actually did. They loved being, like, there's a level in it where it reads them a story, and then they ask them to find different sounds in the story, and they love, like, oh, I'm going to find all the sounds before you do. There was even an incidence of after they had done it for a year and they had rose to the next grade and came back, they wanted to be in the club again, and they said, well, your reading skills are on target, so you don't need to. So the following day, the teacher said, oh, they tried to make as many mistakes as possible so they could get back into the club and do it. I think that limiting it and seeing it as a supplemental tool is the important thing. I also think that you have to leverage what technology is good for. Mine assesses where they're struggling at so that the teacher can go back and have the one-on-one moment necessary and now know it's the P that they're struggling with or it's the E that they're struggling with that maybe they were trying to figure out before, but this helps pinpoint it just a little bit more.
So is that an opportunity then? Are these screens and these tablets and the apps that are available to us, are they a good complement to teaching kids to read in a way that we didn't have before?
I think so. I think that they and I've been a screen time skeptic for a long time, but I really have come to believe that it really is, at the end of the day, a tool. And it's been, you know, Dr. Seward identified that very well, that within a classroom where there are a limited number of teachers among children who have limited resources at home and are struggling, it's a great potential way to enhance their access to appropriate reading instruction. But if you take that same tool and you put it in the hands of a child as a replacement for all the other things in the world, and then they become kind of addicted to it and use it all the time and everything else suffers, then that's a problem. But I think when it's used as an appropriate tool, it's incredibly powerful.
It's also somewhat true, and this is, you know, anecdotal, I suppose, and not research-based, but, you know, you hear a lot of criticism about kids using their phones too much or playing on their tablets too much. And I tell you, I can be in this office building or I can be walking around town. I see plenty of people of all ages who are glued to these devices. So how do we avoid, if there is a negative component to too much screen time, how do we move away from all of us being nosed down into these devices for so many hours in the day?
I personally think that as we move forward with technology, the device will soon be going away on its own, and it will be digital interfaces that allow us to collapse physical space. So we will be engaging, and it will still be there. And so I think we're just at a juncture where the device is really transparent to us, but that's where we're headed.
Okay, for some of the parents who are listening, it's not unusual for them to hand over the phone or the tablet to keep a child busy while the parent tends to something or maybe just wants a quiet moment for a little while. What resources would you recommend for parents who are comfortable with using screens for any amount of time but want those screens to display educational and engaging content for their children? Mary Kay, where do you send those parents?
Well, we offer the free apps, the Clever Kids and the Footsteps to Brilliance. Anyone living in the footprint of Covington receives that because the city's paid the license for that for the next 3 years, and then we have a perpetual license. That makes it equitable. We also have free Wi-Fi regions in the city. The library, as well as businesses, all provide that free Wi-Fi, so they don't need this app when they don't need to have the internet at home. They can download part of it and just use it on an incremental basis. That also limits it because you can download just a part of the app, not the thousand stories, songs, and activities that are found on it, but just a few stories and use those for a while and then delete that. So that's one of the ways we're doing it.
So for those who maybe aren't accessible to the Covington program, what type of programs might there be for you to recommend to parents who want to give them something worthwhile, give their kids something worthwhile while they're on the screen?
You know, when I think about where my area of expertise is in that 0 to 6 space, there aren't as many apps that I would necessarily recommend, but I know Sesame Street Communities has some really great resources on there that parents could look up and download as well. And PBS, of course, also has some great resources online as well.
Our neighbors downstairs at WCET are loving this recommendation.
Hey, that's where I'd recommend. Fred Rogers Institute also has some really great resources for families.
We did get a call from listener Terry. She said that some of her adult kids are in college now, and they're worried that they may be dyslexic. Can they be diagnosed and helped? I think her question was, is it too late for such a diagnosis or for any assistance?
Not at all. And actually, the Reading Center, a little pitch, our number is 803-READ. Here in Cincinnati, we provide evaluations for kids between 6 and adults. So really, it's never too late to be diagnosed. A lot of parents do struggle with reading and have done it for a long time, and I would definitely encourage them to make a call and get an evaluation as soon as they can.
And as we wrap up, just some more advice for parents. Maybe there's some parents out there who are struggling with getting any interest from their kids at all in reading. What do you do if they just want to watch YouTube videos or they just want to even just play outside, even if it's not screen related? How do you get them to sit down and take a look at some words every now and then? What's the best advice you can offer?
I would say do it together. Nothing beats the relationship with the caregiver and the child. And if you're doing it together and you're making reading exciting and you're using voices and you're excited about it, that's going to get them interested.
All right. I want to thank the Director of Reading and Discovery Center at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, Dr. John Hutton, Associate Professor of Communication Design at the University of Cincinnati College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning, Renee Seward, Director of the Early Childhood Literacy Initiative at the City of Covington, Mary Kay Connolly, and Director of the Innovation Lab at Covington-based Children, Inc., Sarah Zawali. Thanks to all of you for joining us today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Find archives of our show online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.